If somebody is doing something inappropriate, somebody is acting lustily or greedily or whatever, and we report to the management, they simply say that actually even greed suggests fall prey to temptation. So this is simply a struggling sadhaka. So we should just be understanding. So how do we see such an answer? See, there is in general in our movement, we have sambandha, the philosophical understanding, you are not the body or the soul, you are part of Krishna, and we have prayojan, we have to develop love for Krishna. The abhideya in terms of practicals is not explained much. For example, we just like throw principles at problems, which doesn't work. If two people have conflicts, chant Hare Krishna, the conflict will be solved. Well, both of them are chanting Hare Krishna, but their mind is, this person. They need to sit and maybe they need to have mediation, they need to have proper discussion. So, the philosophical principles are true. At the same time, these philosophical principles have to be translated into practical actions also. So, there can be three broad situations in which a practical problem is we get a response with a philosophical answer to that. So one is that is an indication that you know there is no philosophy, there is no practical action that can be taken, so just accept it philosophically. So tamsitikshas of Bharata we can say. And there are, so sometimes you know, basically we have Jnanendriyas and we have Karmendriyas. So Bhakti Sanskrit Thakur says in one of his early books, Bangali Samajikta, that the Western civilization focuses more on Karmendriyas, acting in the world and changing the world. And those who have this definition of success, they see those who don't act in the world and change the world, they see them as very passive, very fatalistic, very lethargic. But he says in the Indian civilization traditionally, the focus has not been on changing the world, but on understanding the world. And ultimately this world is dukkhale, so don't try to change it so much. Basically, try to transcend the world. So we could say in the Upanishads, broadly speaking, and the Upanishadic mode of wisdom is focus on the Jnanendriyas and understand the nature of the world. Not so much on changing the world, but on understanding the world and learning to accept its nature. Now, bhakti actually is a combination of both. Because we do understand philosophically, but at the same time, we also want to change practically. Arjuna did fight a war to change things practically also. So now, depending on different devotees' particular natures, particular priorities, particular situations, sometimes they may just focus on the philosophical vision only. You know, this is what happens. So for example, now, if many devotees, they go, I was in NIT Rourkela, I gave a class over there, and then after that some students, they came and told me that, you know, when we go to some Christian church, there's a lot of missionary work happening over there, and the pastors and the Christian staff, they talk so nicely with us, answer our questions, greet us politely, respectfully, but when we go to Jagannath Puri temple, the pandas simply, they hound us for money. So then, in this, I have nothing that I can do in this situation. So I just give the philosophical perspective that the pandas, traditionally there was a system for maintaining them, and then there was the Indian government had a land resettlement act by which traditionally the deities had a lot of temple land, and that was used to maintain the priest families, but that land was all taken away by the government and now they don't have anything. So now that might be one reason, there can be other reasons also, they might just be habituated, whatever. But in this case, just I try to give a philosophical perspective and end that. So same, even within our movement, if something is happening in Mayapur, something is happening in the West, I don't have any power to change that. So at least help people to make sense of it. So that is also a valid way of dealing with situations, especially situations which are a little far away, on which we have very little control. If we can't even make sense of things, then it's very disturbing. So we could say that devotee who is giving us the philosophical answer is helping us make sense of it. But if it's in our immediate vicinity, we don't only also want to make sense of it. We also need to deal with it. So we don't have to deal with the Jagannath Puri pandas, or we don't have to deal with something which is happening in some remote places. So when we have to, so then something about the karmendras also comes in. What can we do with this situation? So then, as I said, three approaches could be that some devotees just tell us, see it philosophically and leave it at that. Now, if we are not satisfied with that, then we have to find out some devotees who can give us practical answers. Because different devotees are of different natures. And recently in Canada, I gave a class on what is maturity, humility, self-pity and maturity. So my understanding is maturity means to understand that no one is obliged to fulfill my needs. Like a child cries and the mother, the father come and come running and take care of the child. When adults cry, nobody may come. Now, adults may also be hungry, adults may also be distressed, and they need to address that. But adults can't demand that the world has to come and satisfy me. If I am hungry, I have to earn money, I have to borrow, I have to get something by which I can address my hunger. So maturity means to understand that nobody is obliged to fulfill my needs. So if I have a need for a practical solution also, that's my need. And maybe they don't feel that need, they just see it that way and they leave it at that. So then rather than saying that, oh, they just give impractical answers, we say that that is not their need, but this is my need. So then we have to have some devotees who can address our need. So then they may tell you practically, okay, you know, if you find it's very disturbing, you just take up some other service. Don't do that. Or as I said, practically, sometimes some devotees may be behaving in a particular way, but that fault is there, but they have some other good. And with that, whatever valuable service they are doing, that is so much important that this particular thing, you can overlook it. So, the Prabhupada is also like that. There's some of Prabhupada's disciples, they would not chant 16 rounds. But they had a lot of vigor to do big outreach. And Prabhupada did not keep harping on them, you know, chant. Prabhupada just accepted whatever service they were doing. So, chanting 16 rounds is a serious fault, you could say. But Prabhupada accepted that. He accepted whatever service they were doing. Not that he condoned that. He just did not harp on it continuously. So, moving on. So, if we need a practical solution, then we have to find out devotees who will give us a practical solution. Or we have to ourselves learn that if I want a practical solution, I shouldn't go to this person. I have some different devotees, senior devotees with whom I take guidance. So there's one senior devotee who told me, you know, if you want to get something done, come to me. If you want to discuss something, go to that person. Don't discuss anything with me. So I was a little taken aback initially, but then I was happy at least he clarified like that. Otherwise, they want to discuss something, they just keep saying, no, I don't have time, I don't have. What do you mean? You know, it's an important thing, we have to discuss it. Sometimes some devotees just, they are the mode of doing things. That's their nature. So, now the third would be we get some philosophical sense, both the Gyanendriya and the Karmendriya both are helped. That's, we get some sense of things and we also get some things to adjust. So, you have to find out who will give that kind of perspective to you and just take inputs, take guidance from them. No need to, this kind of philosophical principles in response to practical problems, it can be very frustrating. And if it happens like that, I remember I had some doubts about fifth canto cosmology. And there are little technical doubts, you know, how do you understand this, how do you understand that. And one devotee told me, one who has implicit faith in Guru and Krishna, he quoted that verse, you know, for them all questions are answered. Well, okay, what do I do? Well, my questions are not answered, that would mean that I don't have implicit faith. Okay, I don't have, then what do I do right now? That is not an answer to the question. So, I would say that we have to find out who will answer our questions. And sometimes if we don't have the answer, then just put it like in a car park, just keep it there and eventually till we get the association of some devotees who answer those questions, just keep it suspended till then.
I'm going to lecture when you're saying if